On the line, I've got Ken Khan, director of Stranded Pearl. Good morning.
A very good morning to you as well, Aaron, and a beautiful, beautiful morning here in Auckland. Listeners, you're listening to the Raglan Morning Show with Ken Khan in Raglan Mall.
So,
wonderful, wonderful.
We've got a pretty nice day down here in Raglan as well. Now, you're going to be here on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening to do a director's talk and a Q&A after the showing of or the screening of Stranded Pearl. I'm wondering, are you doing a tour around the country at the moment with this? Are you doing this in lots of places?
We have actually just finished the tour, actually. Raglan would be the last show for Stranded Pearl to be in Aotearoa, and after that it will move to Australia and other places. So, yeah, I'm most certainly looking forward to actually be there with, be there in Raglan at the Old School Arts Centre for the final show, on its film Stranded Pearl. So, yes, it is actually playing on Saturday in Raglan.
Yeah, cool. So can you tell us, the first thing we should do is just tell us a little bit about the film. How do you describe it, if you have to tell people completely fresh what the film's about?
Right. I mean, it's a film about two people actually lost on an island. It's also what you call a story, which is, there are only certain kind of stories in the, what you call in the world, 5-6 kind of a story, which actually a different permutation and combination actually makes them happen. Mm. And so this is very much when the script came to me by Rachel Smith, actually, and I was going through it. I felt that, oh, well, this is not something so different. I mean, we have seen two people actually lost on an island before in the Bible, you know, in Genesis.
Okay, yeah.
So the film is not a religious film. Of course, it's an adventure film. And it was interesting to actually just explore the same chemistry between a man and a woman, but only with a different difference of their personal relationships, that they are actually married as opposed to Adam and Eve. And the catch is they're not married to each other.
Right.
So it's an interesting story. And then also the element about showing, putting what you call the Cook Islands, which was the primary shooting location of the film.
Yeah.
To the world, and people actually, okay, well, this is a beautiful Pacific Brotherhood that we can all actually sort of dive in and support.
Yeah.
That's pretty much summing up in terms of the film. It's a romantic adventure. We've got different scenarios, these couple face actually to make it alive at the end of the film. It's about also the environment, that they go through and they find out, okay, why it's so important actually to be greener and why we should actually contribute towards the maintaining a perfect ecosystem and not disturbing, any what you call artificial ways of life that we have actually come so accustomed to, with a modern way of life.
Mm.
So that's how far that story goes. But I mean, when a picture tells 1,000 words, each one of us, we usually have a story to tell. But not every fable can be a film. So there are some that worth the effort of actually going there and shooting and all that. And these are the ones that may bring more closer as humanity, with a better understanding, for each other as the different communities. The lead actress, actually, Christy Wright, she was a very familiar face on Home and Away throughout the 90s and the early 2000s.
Okay, yeah.
And Chloe, she used to play. So she's an Australian actress, and she really carried the role out very well.
Yeah.
And then there's that Cook Island, Raro-based, actor who's playing the lead. So he's pretty much... the guy who is actually operating a boat, so they get shipwrecked, and then from there onwards, actually, they're into a situation where they have to actually just fight for their survival.
Mm. Can I ask about your leading man is also a producer and apparently a CFO of Air Rarotonga?
That's correct.
Is he fairly pivotal to the making of this movie?
Yes, he was actually, because it was his concept and idea that actually brought us all to actually complete the film. His name is Anand Naidu, and
yeah,
he is actually a Kiwi guy. He was born in Fiji and then later on, grew up here at the uni. Later on, he went to Cook Islands and then he just got stuck there, with the beauty and the people.
Yes.
And everything else.
Yep.
So he's very pivotal to actually make it because, he saw that, okay, well, let's put the Cook Islands on a world stage. So that's something that, he contributed to. The actual idea was actually in the early phases from 2017, actually December 2017, and it has taken so long.
Oh wow!
You know, it's easier to actually make films if you've got a big Hollywood budget, but it's if you've got a if you've got a shoestring budget, then the time actually goes. Goes into it. As a film crew from New Zealand, we were there very much like in the film, stuck on an island, sort of a stranded.
Yes.
And, on a shoestring budget with a skeleton crew. But, the people actually really made it happen for us in the Cook Islands because they all got there and they, the people were doing things, learning things from the students and all that. So,
yeah.
As a human race, we are all very creative, like I said, and it's only a chance that we need to be given, for filmmakers. So, I mean, why it is so important to actually make films? Because we are preserving our history, It's of course, films are part of literary contribution, visual literary contributions. And we can only do it now because... sometimes it's for entertainment, sometimes for economic benefits. But above all, it is for the preservation of what we were and who we were in carving the wakas, of time.
Ken, can I ask you, just to touch on your point before about everyone working hard in Rarotonga, I mean, it sounds like people might be like, oh, do you want to go to Rarotonga and make a film? And people are like, oh, that sounds really nice. But if you're really busy and you've got a short time frame, it's not really like a holiday, is it?
No, you're right. It wasn't actually, but we were expecting it to be such because we only had 22 days of principal photography in Rarotonga with the lead female arriving for only 2.5 weeks. Others in the film, of course, Raveri Paratini, who is from New Zealand. He's known for a whale rider. So he was there. Ray Wolf, he's a very famous singer, actually, UK-born, but a Kiwi singer.
Yeah, no, he was very famous in New Zealand. Like, I remember him, he was everywhere when I was a kid. How do you get someone like him in a film?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting story because my background, actually, is also from radio.
Yeah.
And so I was working with a few prominent, singers, recording them at the studios and everything. And he was one of them. But even so... he was concerned that, all right, I've got a script and who is the director? Maybe he's not hopefully he's not a blank director. And then he rang up Alan, Alan Jensen, who was my sound, at the studios. Alan from, How Bizarre, with Polly and OMC and...
Yeah, his name's familiar, yeah.
And so, finally that call to Alan and he said, nah, Ken is just a local guy, then that makes it the casting happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So because he's a very prominent person, Ray Wolf, he's done some, big films. So for a small film like this, and of course, then it was the excitement of actually making a bunch of film in the Cook Islands. So that's how we got him casted, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty nice. And I guess that talks about too that, like, it's such a small country, and everyone kind of knows everyone around this part of the world, really. Yeah.
And that's an advantage, and that's the reason that we can make actually movies, from all people actually really now come from all over the world. We have got a very exciting movie industry. And thanks to Film Commission, they have got some excellent opportunities for overseas filmmakers to come here. I mean, like, let's just say Raglan, right? So the Manua Bay, there was a film, there are two films that we often forget. But if you go back, The Last Paradise is one of the films, actually, bunch of young daredevils, actually. It's quite a famous film.
Yeah, we know that one here in Raglan, for sure.
Yes. And so, so we have a beautiful country. And right now, I mean, all the major directors actually do come to New Zealand. Post-production is state-of-art. It's world-class post-production facilities, in New Zealand. So definitely, when it comes to the geographic location, New Zealand becomes like a very, very, very appealing place to actually... for films, not just for production, but also for post-production.
Yeah.
And beautiful locations, so
yeah,
that goes without saying.
Hey, you mentioned earlier that your first came across this film that we're talking about, Stranded Pearl, in 2017, I think you said.
That's great.
Yeah, what? And obviously you're not directing for those 7 years leading up to this point, or the 6 years leading up to the filming. What do you do normally when you're waiting for a film to get so, organized?
Very interesting question. You know, so I'm actually, as a person, of course, I'm barely anything, I feel that I have a privilege, that I'm in the industry telling stories at direction. But as a full-time, a company, we are MNC and we do post-production for films. So other people from around the world, Australia, Malaysia, they come here and then we actually make, films for them in post-production. So that's what I usually do normally.
Right, okay.
And then when I get a little bit of a time and then we can do something, when there's a story like Stranded Pearl or other such stories that we think that, all right, well, this can actually change someone, someone out there. One person is more than enough as a feel-good film. So then I'm in the direction, part of things.
So
back in the days, directors used to be like what you call dictators, but now in the corporate world, directors are very much catalysts, everything is there. And yeah, despite of the fact that, bigger budgets make better movies, of course, it's not going to be like, our expectations are sort of need to be managed. It is, of course, a small film on a small budget, but it's a good community film,
Yeah, yeah. And so, folks, we're talking to Ken Khan, who's the director of Stranded Pearl, on Saturday night from 4:30. So you're doing a talk about the film beforehand and a Q&A afterwards, aren't you?
That's correct, sir. That's right. So there will be actually just like a talk before the film. And then later on, there will be what we call a Q&A session, which is a question and answer session from the audiences. And we like to take some questions and answer them and tell them some bits that... that will be like what you call in the film, will be interesting to know.
Yeah.
These are like what you call how we made it, behind the scenes, and a few interesting stories like what happens, when you're making a film, in terms of the difficulties that we face, and then how it all comes together. But anything that we start, we must aim. And I'm a sole believer that actually, despite that we feel that we are doing this and we are doing that, the films belong to the audiences. The moment as a director, I call cut. I'm an audience myself. So we surrender to the universe and then the film sort of makes itself.
Mm-hmm.
And with the help of course, my DOP, Carl, and other people who are quite experienced people, as crew, and a good casting, and a good script, it just happens.
Yeah, and I'm always interested to ask this question, Ken. Do you watch the film with the audience, or do you go and do something else?
No, I'm going to definitely watch it with my audience.
Okay.
Definitely.
The last, I talked to a director a few months ago, who is coming down similar to what you're doing, and he never watches it with the audience. He just can't do it. So I'm always intrigued different perspectives on that.
Yeah, it's like sort of very hard to watch it again and again. Also, your work is in front of a public space. So sometimes, they have seen it so many times in edit and the making that, the whole enjoyment out of the film is gone by the time you are actually in front of an audience watch it again.
Yeah.
But I think it's a privilege, and directors should do that because this is all a work of art and audiences are the real owners of the work. So it's a privilege and an honor actually to always watch it with the audience, and I try my best to do so. And every single time that I watch a film, no matter how, I really enjoy it. Because, when we are watching movies, movies are community events, and that's the reason we profess actually going and supporting the local cinemas, even on a smaller scale or bigger scale, doesn't matter. But this is actually for a community. It's you will always remember who you saw the film with, and not so much the story. So the experience is the most important thing, as from audience perspective. Yeah.
All right, Ken. Well, look, really nice to chat to you this morning. Folks, if you just tuned in this instant, talking to Ken Khan, director of Stranded Pearl, on Saturday night at the Old School. Director's talk and a Q&A before and afterwards going on there. So we appreciate, we don't often get a lot of, I talked about someone I interviewed another director recently, but it's actually pretty rare for us to have directors come to town for our screen. So appreciate that, Ken. And I hope you enjoy your time in Raglan when you get here.
Oh, the honor is absolutely mine. I love Raglan. I call it my heart because I was there a couple of years back, and I tried to be there for the international surfing competition.
Right.
So it's like what you call, it's a really a beautiful, beautiful place. And I think it's we have actually shot, you know, when I say we, in New Zealand, two movies have been already shot on Mauna Bay, as I said, one in the 60s and one in 2010. And I was there and I saw the place, and it's like sort of, okay, well, this is a place that we can actually shoot a nice paranormal, you know, sort of a film coming up.
Okay,
so
right.
From there, and this will be happening somewhere around end of next year.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell a little bit about that on my, in my Q&A sessions there.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, actually, Aaron, for the opportunity. And thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in on the morning show. This is Ken Khan with Aaron Moore. And I look forward to see you on Saturday afternoon at the Old School Art Center with the Standard Pole.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Ken.